When it comes to keeping your practice organized, you want software that's not only simple, but the best. I recommend Therapy Notes. Their platform lets you manage notes, claims, scheduling, and more. Plus, they offer amazing unlimited phone and email support. So when you have a question, they are there to help. To get 2 free months of Therapy Notes today, just use the promo code JOE, J-O-E, when you sign up for a free trial at www.therapynotes.com. Everyone, if you're looking to be inspired, motivated, educated, and entertained, you have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, the podcast where we explore your fitness, life mindsets, and actions that help you become unstoppable. You're worth it, and it's time to finally make changes in your life that will last you the rest of your life. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bomb Mom Podcast. My name is Melissa. I am your host, and we have an amazing guest today, you guys. Her name is Kate Fish. Now, am I saying it right? Fish?
Yes, that's exactly right. Oh, just God. Fish.
I'm doing so good. You don't understand. I've been slaughtering last names. And
oh, goodness.
Well, we just roll with it. We just roll with it. So I always like to take a guess and then be like, am I getting it?
Yeah, it's just one syllable. You got it.
You can't mess that up. Kate Fish. Damn, I'm so good. I got on the first try. So you guys, Kate is a licensed psychotherapist. Like, what a title, right? Okay, so she's also a writer, entrepreneur, and she has over 15 years experience treating eating disorders and negative body image. Like, when I said we have a treat today, I completely mean it. Like, seriously, Kate is currently using her experience to create easily accessible resources and support for therapists on the front line, loved ones supporting their loved ones with eating disorders, and individuals who themselves are struggling with an eating disorder and negative body image. Like, is this not right up our alley or what? Kate, we are so excited to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You know, and this is a topic that I think just holds so much, like, you know, like a stigmatism to it. Am I saying that right? A negative stigmatism?
Definitely. Just a stigma. I think a stigmatism is something that you go to the eye doctor about.
I think that's an eye. I'm like, this is a stigmatism. Like, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I'm like, no, that ain't right. That ain't right.
All right. We can go with it. We knew what you meant.
You knew what I meant. That's just how we roll on this podcast, though. So
yeah. Yeah. Eating disorders still have a stigma to them. Absolutely. Like all mental health, for sure.
Yeah. And this one, I think, you know, when people talk about it, when people bring it up, it's like so taboo, or they're like, oh, not me. Or it's always like, oh, I know someone who knows someone who has it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so common. It's scary. That's the thing, is that this is something that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we all struggle with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be like eating disorder with like capital E and a capital D, right?
Right.
And, you know, I like to say like disordered eating. You know, I think that so 30 million people in the United States, all ages, all genders, can meet criteria for that diagnosis of that, you know, capital E eating, capital D disorder. But there's so many more men and women, or women and men, who really struggle with disordered eating behaviors and disordered eating thoughts and disordered thoughts about their bodies.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean, like, disordered eating thoughts? Like, what does that look like in someone?
Well, let's see. I'll give a good example. One probably up your alley. So, you know, exercise and health and wellness, right? That's definitely a focus of a lot of people right now. And hopefully we'll continue.
Right.
And I think sometimes when we think about exercising, we think, you know, we relate that to food. And so one question I like to ask my clients is, are you eating to exercise, or are you exercising to eat? And I think a lot of the time we end up really exercising to eat, right? So we're always like adding up those calories, like, man, you know, or it's the other way around, like a compensatory behavior, like, oh gosh, we went out last night, I had too many drinks, you know, I got to hit that extra, you know, level in the gym tomorrow to make up for that.
Right.
You know, so that's a disordered eating kind of thought, or, you know, it just feeling bad. Like it's, you know, you had some birthday cake. It's somebody's birthday. You should eat cake. Don't feel bad about this. This is a normal thing.
Right, right. That's funny you bring up cake because it's literally my kryptonite. Like, it, you know,
it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Cake is all.
I love cake. All things cake, cupcakes, strawberry fruit shortcake, cake, fruit, all things cake. But it's funny you bring that up because it's something that when I go to a birthday party or out somewhere, that's one thing I fucking take back to the table. I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm not missing out on cake. And everyone comments. They're like, what? Melissa eats cake? And I'm like,
okay. Yeah, this is the shit that drives me crazy. Like, well, right? Of course I'm eating cake. Why are we at this party?
Exactly. I only came for the cake.
Right. So cake is a sometimes food, right? Like, and it might not be for you, and we can talk about that later, but like cake is a sometimes food. We don't eat cake at every meal, every day, right? Though that would be like an all the time food, right? Like an apple is an all the time food. I mean, this is how I talk about it with my kids.
I love it.
And here's the thing with food, and I feel like we often either we go all or nothing with food, right? Well, in a lot of ways, but it's either good or it's bad. And that's not the truth. Food is so much more. I mean, let's think about food. Yeah, of course, it's fuel, right? But it's also a way we communicate with each other. It's a way we remember our heritage, right? And remember loved ones. It's a way that we soothe people when they're grieving. It's a way, I mean, in some religions, right? Like food or fasting is a way we even talk to our God, right?
Right,
I mean, food
right.
is so complicated. And so just saying it's good or bad limits really what this vital piece of our life is. And when you think about, I'm getting back to the cake, of course, but when you think about a birthday, right? You're celebrating someone's birthday. In our culture, how do you do that? We make a cake of some sort and we put some fire in it and we sing a song and we eat it. And that's good. Like it's weird to go to a birthday party and not eat cake.
Right. I love
you. You might as well say, I don't even fucking care about you and your birthday.
Right.
Fuck this cake.
Put some fire in it. I love that. That made me laugh. But no, it's completely true. And it makes me so just like sad and make me want to have like three pieces when people are like, you eat cake. And I'm like, yes, I eat cake because I love food and I love balance. And I've never called it a sometimes food. I love that. I'm going to totally steal that and use that with my kids, a sometimes food and an all the time food.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you ate cake every day, it would no longer be your favorite food.
Exactly.
Got to keep it special.
Exactly. And the frosting's the best part. So are all these thoughts, do you see like this is what triggers and leads into people having a full blown eating disorder? Like, is this where we see it start?
Yeah, sometimes. So, you know, going back to this difference between like, you know, eating disorder versus disordered eating and thoughts, an eating disorder is, you know, multidimensional, biopsychosocial, you know, diagnosable mental health issue, right? And so there's a lot of factors that go into that. We know now that, you know, you can pass on, right, certain elements of your DNA that are associated with having a higher likelihood of someday being diagnosed with anorexia, for example.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can also, you know, in addition, we don't have to have those, you know, genes to have an eating disorder. It's kind of like this perfect storm thing. You know, we live in a society where we're getting hammered with these messages all the time. If you are, you know, common age of onset, right, is puberty. And then again, from 18 to 24, well, biologically, that's when those kind of biologic factors get triggered. And then of course you have the psychological issue. Like if you're just bullied all the time by the way you look, right? Or you're, you know, family only seems to love you because you, you know, look a certain way. You know, we could spend all day talking about these psychological issues.
Right.
But it's the perfect storm. It's usually a combination of all of those things. So I guess that's a long answer to say sometimes,
Right. Right.
Sometimes. Yeah. It's kind of, you kind of have to have it all lined up, you know, but that's not true for this disordered eating. That's not true for, you know, how we, you know, and I focus on women, but especially women are shaped through these messages to think about our bodies and think about food and in a way that's just toxic and not healthy and not fun.
Yeah. And you said something before, I swear to God, the best conversations, you guys, is before you record a podcast. And then you have to be like, stop talking because this shit's good. You said, like, you know, at 40 or shit, I think anything over 25, and you had said, like, yeah, why are we still talking about this?
I'm turning 40 in a few months, and it's a big deal to me. And I know it shouldn't be, but that's why everything right now in everybody is either 40, like it's like this mile marker in my life. So,
right.
Anyway, yeah, you're right. 25 or older. I mean, if you want to get serious, like people in kindergarten are talking about this stuff, right? Like,
right.
Some, I don't have the statistics in front of me, and I'm not going to rattle them off if they're not accurate, but there is a disproportionate amount of second graders who are like trying to limit their calorie intake so they can change the shape of their body. Like, this is ridiculous, but yes, yeah. Adult women.
Yeah. And it really does bother me. I feel bad saying it bothers me, but it does. It bothers me that like, we're still talking about this. Like we haven't grown enough by the time we're 40 or 30 or whoever's listening to this, 50. I mean, my God, 60 women, you know, year old women, like we haven't grown enough or learned enough by that. And it's so sad. Yeah.
And not just us, like think about our moms and our grandmas and, you know, let's talk about a century of progress.
Oh my God. Right? Yeah.
Look at, we can, you know, we can do whatever we want now. Right. And somehow we are standing around and we're professional women, right, who are not stuck in the kitchen or, you know, whatever, however it used to be. And yet we're not talking about our lives and our, I don't know, our successes or even our failures, right? We're talking about our workout routines and what we ate or didn't eat and why we don't like our bodies. And it's, I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's just not interesting.
And I find myself struggling with having other girlfriends. Like I have a very small group and I get along with men a lot better.
Well, because they don't talk about this stuff.
They don't talk about this stuff. No.
This is so sad, but I go to a party. Like, I don't want to talk to the women. I want to go talk to the men because they're not talking about, you know, what the way their bodies look most of the time.
And you probably experience this too. Like when you do get together with friends and your friends' friends are there that you know, but they're not like your close friends, but they're like, we're all friends. You know what I'm saying? You probably get this too, where people are like, they act different around you, or they'll be like, oh, well, you know, Melissa's only going to eat the broccoli. Did you bring your side of broccoli? You know? And
yeah.
Like,
what is that? What is the,
seriously,
what's the purpose of that? Do you think, are they threatened by you? So they're trying to like, like set you apart from, I don't get it.
Yeah. And they try and like hide what they eat, or like if they do have a plate of food that's like, you know, the nacho dip with the chips and all the good stuff that you know you came there to eat, they almost like try and hide it or like justify it to me. And I'm like, bitch, I don't care what's on your plate. I am off duty. Like, I don't care. I'm here as Melissa, as like a friend and just another girl. And yet it's always brought up. Do you experience that too with your profession and being around other women like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you and I talked about this in our first phone call is my close friends know better at this point. They know what I'm going to say. When I talk to new people, you know, I like to call them out, like, really? Because last time I checked, you were like a super successful, you know, fill in the blank. And I really don't care about your workout routine right now.
Right.
And I think people are shocked. And I think I like that reaction sometimes, like, you know, like, let me just drop this little bomb and see what happens.
Right.
But hopefully, you know, it makes them think a little bit. And I also like saying, yeah, I'm a psychotherapist and I specialize in eating disorders. Like, you know, I love dropping that because, you know, I want to wait to see like, what's your reaction, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's a guilty pleasure, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Keep doing it. Drop those bombs. Love it. This is the Bomb Mom Podcast. Drop them.
So cute. I tied that right up.
Right? And but I bring this up because, you know, the women listening, you guys, like all of our listeners and stuff, pay attention to this conversation. Like I'm bringing it up with Kate because are you the woman in the kitchen that's supposed to be enjoying herself at a party and you're sitting there like hiding your food or talking about your workout routine or talking about how like, oh, I deserve this meal. Like, pay attention to your words, pay attention to your mm-hmm. conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And because we want to be able to support each other, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we could launch into a lot of stuff right now. So I'm going to try and keep it close. But, you know, I think that for women, you know, we've been fighting for our voice and we've been fighting for our rights and we've been fighting for our independence for, like I said, centuries, right? But yes. Yet I do feel like there is sometimes this undercurrent of infighting, right? So if we can challenge each other, right, then that makes us weaker as a group, right? So, and I don't want to, again, like, I don't want to take too far of a left turn here, but I think that comparing our bodies with each other or workout routines or, you know, who's eating what diet and how many hours are you fasting, whatever, I think that that actually weakens us as a group because we're not talking about the important stuff. Right? Yes. We're not talking about how we can support each other and continue to move forward, right? We're talking instead about stuff that's not interesting and not important in the long run.
Right. And I run into that in my group a lot too, with the Bomb Mom group of, you know, if someone does share like, oh, I burned this many calories with this workout or like whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but I don't care. I want to know how sore you are. Or like, you know, are you seeing mm-hmm. change in muscle growth and stuff? And another mm-hmm. female will see that and they'll compare and they'll be like, well, I did the same workout and I didn't get the, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, the comparison has to stop.
Yep.
And it's not right. allowed in here. It's usually right. a new person. I'm like, right. that's not allowed in here. And we can't compare. Your body is nothing like Susan's.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing, right. you know, and it does, it makes us weaker when we do that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think about it as practicing gladness. And I have a good friend of mine who's a yogi and a very wise woman, kind of taught me this concept of, you know, I think our natural inclination is to compare, is to feel envy, right? Maybe even jealousy sometimes.
Yep.
But if we can practice gladness for other people, even if it doesn't feel authentic at first, right? Fake it till you make it. I think we end up a lot happier at the end of the day. So instead of saying, hey, Susan, I didn't feel that way. I'm clearly not as good at this as you are. Instead, being able to say, that's awesome. Like, high five, way to go. You really pushed it. Like, I think you're really growing and you must feel stronger. You know, just be glad for that person because their, you know, success or, you know, their excitement, like that has nothing to do with you. It's just theirs.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is so hard for women to practice that just naturally? And when you see someone with a win or a success to just be happy for them, to practice that gladness, why is that so hard?
Yeah. I don't know. We just take it personally, right? We mix up that, like that has nothing to do with my value as a person.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
And I'm sure that's, you know, we learned that. It's learned behavior, right? I'm sure I'm sure it could probably be evolutionary too, but again, we're going to stay on track here. Like I think we watch older women, you know, the women that we've looked up to do the same thing. And they probably learned it from their peers or I'm sorry, their, what are those called? Mentors?
Yeah.
Stigmatism. So I think that, you know, it's learned. I've gone off the rails. And, you know, we can unlearn it too, right? We can unlearn this and we can teach the next generation to be glad for others and to separate ourselves from other people and to stop comparing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Going back to like directly with food and eating and stuff, what are some things that the women listening right now can, what are like some pitfalls that we can, not pitfalls, but like pits, holes that we can like avoid, you know, things that maybe they could catch themselves doing that you would say, be very careful when you do that with dealing with food.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can go back to, we can touch, you know, back to kind of where we started. You know, we have a tendency to put food in two categories, right? Like the forbidden food and the good food.
Right.
And when you catch yourself doing that, it's just, there's no such thing, right? A healthy diet has three main components, right? And it's not macros and it's not micros and it's not you know, carbohydrates or not. It's
right.
balance, moderation, and variety, right? So yes. that includes all foods. If I just ate, you know, clean, for example, right? I only ate organic meat and fruit and vegetables and lentils for the rest of my life, right? That's not balanced, right? That it not varied either. I mean, you have to put cake in there too.
Right.
Or you're not going to be happy. Yeah. You know, so we have to stop doing the black and white, the all or nothing, the good and the bad, and remember that food, all of this it's a continuum, right? Just eat it. These are sometimes foods. These right. are all the time foods. Yeah. Go back to that.
So that'd probably be a good thing for people to just say to themselves, or maybe even write down and visually like put a sticky note somewhere and just say like, is this balanced? Am I doing it in moderation? And is this variety?
Yeah, right.
Like if we stick to those three main goals, that mm-hmm. should really help us, right? Mm-hmm. Stay on track and everything with
mm-hmm.
thoughts,
yeah.
foods.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, right. We could probably apply that to a lot of other areas. I mean, I think the other piece, and I think you kind of alluded to it, is this idea that we need to listen to our bodies.
Yes.
Because we're not doing that. We're, you know, just like we were talking about, we're listening to other people talk about their bodies.
Yes.
Or we're listening to, you know, some advertisement that's trying to create a need and sell us something, right?
Right, right.
But instead, if we, you know, and this is the example I give with like people that I'm working with, let's say in session, right? Who have some restrictive behavior, right? They're not getting enough of what they need. And they may come in and say like, oh, I just can't stop binging. I get home at night. I've done so well, right? I haven't eaten anything bad all day. And then I get home and all I want to do is eat, you know, cakes and cookies and, you know, white bread, you know, and I think, okay, well, your body's actually talking to you. It's actually telling you that it needs fuel. It needs simple sugar and it needs it fast. And what's a better way to get that, you know, than, you know, artificial added sugar, right? Piece of chocolate. Right. So we'll go backwards. Then we'll say, okay, what have you eaten today? Okay, well, look, you didn't have any sugar, right? And your brain's trying to tell you it needs fuel. So listen to it. You don't have to eat a chocolate bar to get it, right? Instead, let's look for a complex carbohydrate, for example, or, you know, or have a glass of orange juice and then, you know, reassess.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you're saying that of like, yeah. listen to your freaking body because it's yeah. talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we don't, we just, we don't trust it. We don't trust our body.
We don't. Where do you think that came from? This distrust in our body? Mm-hmm. Because I see it a lot.
Yeah.
Even physically too. Mm-hmm. Like women think like, I can't do 10 more squats. So there's no way. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you can do it right now. And I'm like, right. and they do it. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't think I could do it. Where do you think that started from? This right. doubt.
Oh boy. I could talk all day about this.
Do it.
I know. It's only a 30-minute podcast, right? So, I think we've gotten away from, what we as women are designed to do. Right. And obviously mm-hmm. like our civilization has evolved way faster than our brains have. You know, our brains are still stuck on, wait, I have two jobs. I need to survive and I need to reproduce, right? But right. we don't live that way anymore. And great, I'm glad we don't. But our brains haven't totally caught up to that, right? Our brains don't understand that, you know, we're doing intermittent fasting and we haven't eaten for the past, whatever, 8 hours because we need to lose 10 pounds before my sister's wedding, right? Right. Your brain doesn't get that. It thinks it's famine, right? So, I think that because we started to betray our kind of, you know, our bodies, our brains, you know, basic functioning, basic needs, you know, we get away from this. I love this little antidote so much. And I might have shared it with you, Melissa, before, but I want to share it, on here because I love it. It's like a little bomb I like to drop. So, on average, and this comes from Margot Main, who's an amazing writer and therapist herself. This is not something I've researched on my own, but so women's bodies on average want to hold on to about 17% body fat. right? And I'm sure there's some listeners who are like, what? No, I'm not doing 17% body fat. Like that's right. But yes. When we start getting below that, our bodies start fighting us a little bit more, right? And this is average. Everybody's body needs more or less, right? But on average. And so it's like, what is it about this number? And so it turns out that about that much body fat is exactly the amount of body fat we as women would need to survive without food for guess how long? Just
2 weeks. I'm throwing a number out.
I'll tell you the answer. It's 9 months, actually. And that obviously that's not a coincidence, right? Our bodies are designed to do two things. They're designed to survive and to reproduce. And so our bodies are like, wait, what if there's a famine? I need to hold on to this fast, you know, this fat just in case I need it to get this baby out of me. And so obviously, and again, thank God, like that's not an issue. You know, we're blessed enough not to have to worry about that anymore. But regardless, I like to think about that because it's a testament to how amazing our bodies truly are.
Yes.
And we've forgotten that.
That's so awesome. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Men, guess how long they live without food on average? 3 months.
Oh God.
Three months. Yeah. But we already knew that. Like they're just... poor guy. They're just with the weaker sex. We don't need as many of them.
We don't.
Just a few.
Right.
Just to diversify the gene pool a little
bit. Yeah. That's hilarious. 9 months though. That's interesting. And yeah, what a powerful concept though, too, that like, oh, your body's not an idiot. Like it knows how much it needs to hold on to for procreation.
Yep. It was designed to do it. All this other stuff we worry about on a daily basis, like what are we wearing and is it good enough? And, you know, do I look good in it? And blah, 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 blah. Like that stuff, like that's all fluff. Like we worry about that stuff because again, like we have all this extra room now in our brains because we're not worrying about what we're going to eat or how we're going to shelter or if we're going to survive, you know? So now we fill it up with this other stuff, meaningless stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. My mind is blown for a second. Okay. And my mind doesn't get blown for a second, but I love it. I'm so glad you dropped that bomb. Like I want everyone listening to just like take that in for a minute and just like hug your uterus for a second and just be like, wow, you're amazing. I always use that too. I'm always like, you guys, you can do anything. You fucking grew another human being in your body.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking when you're like, you can't do 10 more squats. Really?
Yeah.
Like how many kids do you have? Because that shit hurts.
Right. Right. For those, I had to just laugh because for those that don't know, like we have a sound guy on with our episodes.
She's still
stuff.
On.
Mitchell is with us. My sound guy's name is Mitchell. And I just have to laugh because he has to listen to all of this with us. And he's probably just going, oh my God, like, what am I listening to? But sorry, you're the weaker sex, Mitchell.
You are. You only can survive 3 months.
That's
and
it.
You can't push a baby out. So
that's it. You know? Oh, I love it. So just briefly going into kids, because Kate, I think we need to do a whole nother episode and have you back. And I know people are going, yes, yes, please. we all have children listening to this, right? And we have to get ourselves right first. And I think the tip that you gave with like looking at your food and in a different way and asking yourself, you know, balanced, moderation, variety, that's going to get us so far. Oh my God. Our listeners are going to just take so much away from just that.
Yeah, I hope
so. We all have kids. Let's do another episode completely on kids, and young women and helping them grow up.
Absolutely.
And just to leave everyone with like a little teaser and stuff, you know, what is something that maybe something easy, simple that we can implement right now with our daughters and sons?
Sure.
My God, it doesn't just have to be daughters, but like we could just kind of be aware of today, like as soon as we're done listening to this and we could just start implementing in our home right away.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of those.
There's a lot. Stuff. Pick your favorite.
But I am going to pick one that I think has to do, obviously, with what you do, and that's exercise. And so exercise is a fundamental component to keeping our bodies healthy, right? But the way we talk about exercise around our kids is really important. And so, you know, kind of going back to the beginning, I think we need to focus on, am I eating to exercise or am I exercising to eat? And you're going to want to make sure that you're modeling appropriate behavior. Like, I can't go, you know, do a, you know, 75 minute class, right? You know, kit class or God, I hope it's not 75 minutes. It sounds awful.
that would be terrible.
It would, right. Without any fuel, right? So I play tennis. I play competitive tennis, and I know better than to walk out on that court without food in my stomach and without food in my tennis bag, because I can't play to, you know, the best of my ability if my body doesn't have what it needs. And you know, so that's this kind of idea that we're eating to exercise. Also, I don't like to use the word exercise around my kids. Instead, they're 9 and 11. Instead, I like to talk about how it's important that we move our bodies.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, mommy's going to play tennis or I'm going to go to this, you know, workout class, but it's because every day I need to move my body and this is how I'm choosing to do it today. And, you know, I think that's a great way to start in your family is take out these words, take out exercise, right? Take out like hit class or right. I got to go run on the treadmill or no, I, you know what? I got to move my body today. I got to take care of it. So what form am I going to do that in?
I love that. I always tell my kids that like, I'm a machine. Not only does that just like, I don't know, it doesn't sound very feminine, which is good. Like, I don't want them to look at like, I'm going to go on my elliptical, you know, and sweat a little bit.
No, you want to be a badass. I get it.
Yeah, I want to be a badass. Yeah. Like I'm a machine. And I tell them like, what would happen to my machine if I didn't use it? It would rust. It would sit there. It would, you know, it would get old really quick and the joints wouldn't move right, you know? So I'm always telling them like, we're a machine. I love that you like say the same things. Makes me feel like I'm doing something right.
You are, because you're a bomb mom. You got this.
I'm like, I have to work my machine. I'm a machine. You know, how am I going to make my machine stronger today? Like, how am I going to oil my, you know, joints and everything and exercise and lifting does that. And
it looks different for everybody.
Yes.
You know, it looks, I can't get on the treadmill. This COVID BS that's happening right now is just like, I can't play tennis. And I've had to kind of make friends again with the treadmill in my basement. And I hate it.
I hate it.
So boring, you know, and some people love it. And some people love to run. My husband loves to run. It's like, you know, every day he's laces up his shoes and he goes out there and he looks forward to it. And it sounds like a nightmare to me. So the way we move our bodies is different for everybody, you know, because we're not all the same in terms of being able-bodied, for example, or having access to, you know, fancy exercise equipment, you know, so it's going to look different, you know, and you're moving your body looks different than mine. And that's okay.
Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah. Everyone has to learn that like, that's okay. And yeah, I feel you on the pain with that because everyone's like, oh, running. And they're like, oh, run. I'm like, I hate running. I'm like, I will run from zombies and I will run for cake. Like
from something and for something.
Exactly. And that's about it. And now it's like, oh, I should run or walk outside. I'm like, I don't like it. I'd rather like kick a bag. You know, I'd rather like beat the crap out of a bag. And I post a lot of things on my Instagram story of like me hitting a bag and my, you know, that's my cardio day. And a lot of people will message me back and they'll be like, is that all the cardio you're doing right now?
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm like,
just be glad it's not your face. And
exactly.
No, I'm kidding. I'm like, I was so aggressive. I'm kidding.
It's okay. Very aggressive. But I'm just like, I just have to laugh at some of the messages and comments people leave me because I'm like, A, have you ever hit a bag before? Know how hard that is? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And B, like you said, everything looks different on everyone.
Yeah.
And I get so many more benefits of hitting a bag than I do running.
Yeah.
Or getting on my elliptical. Oh, Kate, I'm so glad you were on here with us today. This is just absolutely
perfect. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. We are definitely going to have to do a part two to this. You guys keep
an love it.
Eye out for it, ear out, and eyes out for it because you're not going to want to miss it. I think we definitely need to dive into kids and stuff. But for now, focus on you. Get you right. And I love the tip of just taking out certain words. So that's something easy we can implement today with our children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. So Kate, tell us how can we find you or where are you at on social media? So everyone knows.
Oh boy. Well, right now, I am at, I'm just getting the hang of the social media stuff.
So that's okay.
I'm not going to pretend that it's going to roll off my tongue here.
Yeah, that's okay.
So my practice is called Northside Mental Health. And so I guess my tags would be at Northside. Okay. And that's one word. And then I'm just launching a kind of a new venture. It's called Eating Recovery Academy. And it's designed to provide, you know, resources and support to other therapists out there trying to learn how to treat eating disorders, but also, you know, family members, loved ones, trying to get, you know, their minds wrapped around why, you know, why does my loved one not want to eat today? I don't understand that. And then, you know, to individuals, to people like us. So, and that's at eatingrecoveryacademy.com as well.
At eatingrecoveryacademy.com. Did I say it right?
Yes. And yeah, you guys... except I think that the your social media handle is different than your email, right? Or your website.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes,
at, yes. At Eating Recovery Academy and then eatingrecoveryacademy.com.
Awesome. And don't worry about it because everyone, you can find this in the show notes. So if you're driving and you're like, oh my God, I didn't write it down. It's okay. It's all in the show notes. And people listen to these and make those show notes perfect. So you'll be able to get it. But no, that sounds like an amazing resource to use. So you guys search that out, find it. Oh, Kate, thank you for being on here again. And this was a real treat. Yeah. And we have to do this again. Definitely have to do this again for sure.
Okay. Looking forward Yay. To it. Thank you.
Oh, thanks guys for tuning in. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for the next episode and have an awesome Bomb Mom Day. Bye guys.
If you're ready to become a bomb mom, join my free course over at www.melissavogelfitness.com/course. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. This is given with the understanding that neither the host, practice of the practice, or the guest are providing legal, mental health, nutritional, or other professional information. If you need a professional, you should find one.